Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, all of you beautiful people. Jules here for WhatCulture.com. And as we've discussed many, many times, making a movie is incredibly hard. There are so many decisions that you have to make at every single point that it can make your head spin. And so with all of these spinning plates, of course, you're bound to make at least one dumb decision from time to time. But these ones here, well, they pretty much scuppered entire franchises. So let's take a look at them. As I'm Jules, this is WhatCulture.com, and these are 10 movie franchises ruined by one dumb decision. Number 10. Letting George Lucas direct again. Star Wars. As much as George Lucas is responsible for the existence of the Star Wars franchise, he's also the one to blame for almost every major complaint that fans have about the legendary sci-fi series. Though Lucas directed A New Hope himself, he was far from the secret source which made the film such a success. As a more modest filmmaker, he collaborated with teams of artists to deliver a vision that ultimately sensibly strayed far from the goofier vision of his original script. For The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, Lucas handed off directing duties to more experienced filmmakers, while the true creative masterstroke was bringing screenwriter Lawrence Kasdan aboard to pen the two sequels. Lucas, of course, returned as a writer-director for the prequel trilogy, an ambitious upward failure in which Lucas desperately attempted to embrace new digital filmmaking techniques while confirming that he, as a sole creative force with nobody to answer to, was a recipe for dramatic disaster. This had the knock-on effect of causing J.J. Abrams to overcorrect the problem with the overly safe nostalgia-baiting The Force Awakens before steering perhaps a little too hard the other way into unpredictability for The Last Jedi. In short, Lucas did such a number on the IP with his maligned prequels that he's permanently dented a franchise that is still struggling to figure out its identity and find firm creative footing. Number 9. Too many Agent Smiths. The Matrix. Now, The Matrix sequels arguably made many missteps, but none more so than the decision to randomly give the villainous Agent Smith the ability to replicate himself in the second film. This is a textbook example of a threat being expanded to such comically over-the-top proportions that it actually ends up diminishing overall viewer engagement. Case in point, neither the hilarious janky burly brawl in Reloaded nor the Dragon Ball Z aping final battle in Revolutions had audiences remotely as invested as the comparatively simple showdown at the end of the first Matrix. It's a case of less is more, or rather the more being so more that any tangible connection to the human element is completely lost in the process. Number 8. Trying to copy the MCU formula, the DC Extended Universe. When Zack Snyder's Superman reboot of Man of Steel was released back in 2013, it provided only the mildest hints at the wider cinematic universe. But as soon as the film's first commercial success became apparent, Warner Brothers fast-tracked a franchise-expanding quasi-sequel, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. And that is where the problems really started. Batman vs. Superman was a jumbled mess of a movie, overstuffed with incoherent subplots and desperate attempts to hurriedly introduce the focal members of the Justice League. It was painfully clear that Warner Brothers was just trying to rush their own version of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, attempting to establish in two movies what it took the MCU's six films to create. Fans pretty much rejected Batman v Superman, but Warner Brothers pressed on with Justice League regardless, hoping that its lighter tone would appeal to the type of audience that propelled the MCU to box office glory. Justice League tanked regardless, and the successes of solo outings such as Wonder Woman and especially Aquaman have prompted the studio to change tack, focusing on these smaller movies and keeping away from risky ensemble tentpoles. At this point, it's entirely possible a second Justice League movie simply won't ever happen, which is surely the exact opposite of what Warner Brothers wanted when they started the DCEU. Number 6. Splitting the book into three movies. The Hobbit. The irony of Peter Jackson's The Hobbit trilogy is that it never should have been a franchise at all. The 310-page fantasy novel, the shortest of J.R.R. Tolkien's Middle-earth books, could have so easily been adapted into a single film, per the logical one-book, one-film format of the original Lord of the Rings trilogy. And while Jackson's initial plan to split the book into only two films would have been semi-acceptable, his and Warner Brothers' ultimate decision to adapt the svelte book into a three-film, near 8-hour epic proved massively detrimental to the end product. For starters, Jackson started shooting the film without a clear roadmap for how the story would be divided between them, and the majority of the lengthy shoot was reportedly a mad rush to capture as much footage as possible to be pieced together in editing. Post-production itself didn't fare much better though, with the team working around the clock to produce ultimately subpar visual effects due to the hurried turnaround times for a Christmas release. But the basic problem is that this needlessly epic approach encouraged Jackson to bloat the story out with unnecessary guff in an attempt to justify it being a trilogy in the first place. Number 6. Casting Johnny Depp, Fantastic Beasts. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them was a solid enough start for J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter spin-off franchise, at least until Rowling made the ill-advised last-minute call to reveal that not only was the villainous Percival Graves actually Big Bad Grindelwald all along, but that Grindelwald was actually going to be played by Johnny Depp. The big reveal left audiences more unintentionally amused and baffled than blown away, aided in no small part by Depp's ridiculous getup, plus the fact that he was hot off of a series of high-profile flops at the time and the domestic abuse allegations leveled against him by ex-wife Amber Heard. Depp nevertheless returned for the sequel, The Crimes of Grindelwald, with his presence alone proving impossible to take seriously, if not also being problematic. With this one move, it has cut the legs off of the entire franchise, and it's tough to imagine the series actually limping out to its planned 5 films. Depp's presence casts a dark pall over the franchise, and it's directly impacting its potential to live up to the core Harry Potter brand.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Number 5. Betraying the no fate but what we make message. Terminator. The entire message of James Cameron's masterful Terminator 2 is that the future is not set and that there is no fate but what we make, cemented by the film's ending with Skynet's defeat and the triumph of humanity over the machines. But of course the franchise didn't end there, and even the otherwise relatively decent Terminator 3 betrayed the focal theme of T2 with its admittedly ballsy ending, which reveals that the Judgment Day was inevitable regardless of their efforts. The three sequels that followed pretty much stuck to the same tenor, with the quasi-remake Terminator Dark Fate basically suggesting that humanity is doomed to do this dance forever, with another Skynet-like organization rising up to battle another John Connor-like figure. At least until the box office grosses get bad enough, which to be fair, they pretty much are already. Even with James Cameron being intimately involved with the creation of Dark Fate, the film still actively contradicts the very meaning of T2, leaving an unavoidably sour taste in fans' mouths. Number 4. Not listening to Sam Raimi. Spider-Man. After Sam Raimi made two hit Tobey Maguire starring Spider-Man movies to a collective gross of $1.6 billion, he'd surely proven that he knew a thing or two about what audiences wanted to see from the web-slinger, right? But when Raimi was in the early stages of prepping for Spider-Man 3, with Ben Kingsley set to play the iconic supervillain The Vulture, his producers vetoed the idea, insisting instead that the film introduce Venom as a major antagonist. Raimi has made it abundantly clear over the years that he was not a fan of Venom. The resulting film was an unenthused slog, with Venom easily proving the most disappointing aspect. Still, it was a colossal box office hit regardless, and though Raimi was hired to return for Spider-Man 4, he ended up walking away due to creative issues, namely hating the various scripts that he was given and also feeling that the fast-track production schedule wasn't long enough. Given that Raimi was railroaded on Spider-Man 3, many have understandably assumed that this prompted the director to quit the sequel, after which the fourth film was cancelled entirely and Sony pushed ahead with a, let's just call it, ill-advised reboot franchise instead. Number 3. Hiring Simon Kinberg. X-Men. The X-Men franchise has made many dubious decisions over the years, such as allowing the highly suspect Bryan Singer to continue working on the franchise until just recently, plus its hilariously confused approach to character continuity, and worst of all, giving writer-director-producer Simon Kinberg way too much creative rein. Kinberg started out his X-Men tenure as a co-writer on X-Men The Last Stand, generally agreed to be one of the worst X-Men movies, horribly botching its adaptation of the beloved Dark Phoenix saga. Kinberg did admittedly bounce back by writing one of the series' best entries, X-Men Days of Future Past, but given that the story was co-written by Jane Goldman and Matthew Vaughn, the major creative forces behind X-Men First Class, it's easy to believe that they did most of the heavy lifting for him. Next up, he wrote the terrible X-Men Apocalypse, a deeply soulless superhero tentpole which underwhelmed at the box office. But with Bryan Singer's position in the franchise no longer tenable, Kinberg was inexplicably handed the reins to direct a second attempt at adapting the Dark Phoenix saga. For his directorial debut, Dark Phoenix, with nobody else sharing a writing or story credit, Kinberg was handed $200 million as a budget and bungled the beloved comic run for a second time, bringing the X-Men franchise to a most unceremonious end as Fox was acquired by Disney. Cheers for that, mate. Number 2. Killing Newt, Hicks, and Ripley. Alien. Regardless of which one you prefer, the first two Alien movies are absolute masterworks and complement each other quite wonderfully. Then Fox decided that they weren't done with this cash cow, not by a long shot, and produced a third film which turned out to be one of the most infamously doomed and troubled productions of the 1990s. But the film's biggest misstep was the decision to dispense with the series' three most beloved characters. Newt and Hicks were killed off-screen in Alien 3's opening sequence, while the movie ended with Ripley committing suicide to ensure Weyland-Yutani didn't gain custody of the Xenomorph Queen embryo. In addition to being an unsatisfying end for all three characters, this crashed the franchise headlong into a creative brick wall, resulting in the fourth film, Alien Resurrection, taking the fanfic-baiting approach of serving up a Ripley clone because screw it, why not? A desperate series of cash-ins then followed, namely two Alien vs. Predator movies and two muddled attempts to fill in the backstory blanks, Prometheus and Alien Covenant, all of which seemingly confirmed that there wasn't anywhere compelling left for the series to go. Though Weaver very nearly reprised the role of Ripley in a fifth Neil Blomkamp-directed Alien film, which would pretend Alien 3 never existed, Fox ultimately cancelled the project in favour of an Alien Covenant sequel, which itself has been cancelled due to Covenant's underwhelming box office. And number 1, the lack of male nudity. 50 Shades. The 50 Shades franchise, both in novel and movie form, caters primarily to the underserved demographic of heterosexual middle-aged women, and so it follows that the films would, by duty, feature their fair share of full-frontal male nudity, courtesy of hunky protagonist Christian Grey. And so, despite the trilogy's R rating and an audience very thirsty to see Jamie Dornan bear it all, the 50 Shades movies took a curiously demure approach to sexuality and nudity, with the lead not once stripping off entirely for the audience. What makes this especially frustrating is the sheer number of times the female protagonist bares her chest and behind, confirming that the films are indeed shot with a male gaze above all else, even with the first film being directed by a woman. Moreover, these films conform to the bizarre double standard that female nudity is acceptable and sexy, whilst male nudity is somehow transgressive, obscene, or even comical. If the goal of these movies was to capture the smuttiness of the admittedly badly written novels, then by having Dornan reveal nothing more than his bare butt that you could see in any generic softcore skin flick, then they categorically failed.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.